It's good.
Thank you. You're ready, Chair.
Thank you. I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee meeting to order. The time is 2:46. The first item on our agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Keene.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congresswoman Rivard. Or I'm sorry, second speaker Rivard. Second speaker, I think you're muted.
I'm here.
Thank you. Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
And Congresswoman Goodfox.
Okay, Lynn, did you hear me?
Yes, I heard you. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Present.
Thank you.
Next item on our agenda is prayer.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Next item on our agenda is prayer. Second Speaker Rivard, will you give us our afternoon prayer, please?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Second Speaker Rivard, will you give us our afternoon prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you, Chair. Dear Father God, I would like to ask for blessing and prayers today for my brothers and sisters that are in recovery. I would ask that they surrender just a little bit more to the Lord today. Father God, I ask for all my brothers and sisters that are in recovery further to receive a spiritual blessing. I would ask that we receive a blessing for all of our Osage people and for all the Native people around the world, Father God. And I just ask that we make good decisions and that you please guide us through. Amen.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda is approval of minutes. The committee has minutes from March
29th. Madam Chair.
Yes.
Motion to approve the minutes of March 29th, 2021.
Is there a second?
Second. This is Stabler.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 No opposed. Motion carries. The next item on our agenda is consideration of ONCA 2127, an act to enact a nonprofit corporation code and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Speaker Pratt. Speaker Pratt, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I had to move office again just real quick.
Okay. So I is Candy Thomas on. Okay, she is. Well, I just wanted to start out by saying that I've had a good discussion along with Congresswoman Goodfox, with Ms. Thomas, and I'm drawing a blank for her name. I'm so sorry. Susan. And I've expressed my concerns just on how, just to let the members know on how this might look in, hold on, let me close my door. There's an echo. moving forward regarding boards, I shared my comments and concerns just regarding as we as a Congress continue to work through board structure. This is something we would definitely want to take a look at. You can hear their concerns of obviously wanting to stay separated. So I just wanted the Commerce Chair and Vice Chair to know, as the conversations that we've had regarding the board structure, what this might look like in that whole, whatever direction we're going. I don't know if, you know, this was something that would be remain on its own, it just completely separate like gaming, or if it would somehow fall in an arm of the overall board structure. So I just wanted to make those comments because it's regarding a board of directors, and a lot of the articles of incorporation, et cetera. And I believe that those are still being worked through. But overall, this, I agree with the and support the direction that they're going and the need for this piece in order to support a financial institution. And it has been throughout the strategic plan for many years now, even back to the original. So I guess beyond that, I have, like I said, those were my concerns that I have voiced to Ms. Thomas. But beyond that, and I've also spoken with Terry Mason Moore, who worked on this, and I have also confirmed that the Attorney General's office has reviewed this, and Mr. Adam Trumbly, First Assistant Attorney General, has worked through this with the group. So I just wanted to make sure that I touched on those points. And beyond that, I would like to turn to Ms. Thomas for an overall briefing of all the planning. Thank you.
Thank you, Speaker Pratt. The CDFI, that stands for Community Development Finance Financial Institute, and they have them all over the nation. There are some tribal financial institute CDFIs that have been successful. And one of the most is the Potawatomis. They've been up and running for about 13 years. And they started with a small loan portfolio of $250,000. And they're now at $40 million and self-sustaining. And the real key to the CDFI, Chief and I went down and spent most of the day with them going through all the how they're set up and how what their market is and what types of loans they offer and what's their risk rate and their interest rate and all of those kinds of things. They were very willing to share a lot of information with us. And one of the most key factors is to get the right people in the right places and to structure your loans to the needs of your market or your community area. And it's going to be in small steps. We're not going to just be jumping into it. But this code that you're looking at, this nonprofit code, is not just for the CDFI. There's two sections that are particularly applied to the CDFI when it talks about a public purpose corporation. But the rest of the code applies to any Osage entrepreneur that wants to get into the nonprofit business. An example of that might be Dance Maker. Even though they're already a nonprofit, I believe they're under an umbrella that's different than this. So it's geared towards more than just one function for the CDFI. And we've already started with some meetings with an organization called OWISTA, which is a corporation that provides all kinds of training and support for CDFIs. The federal regs say that you have to exist for a year and have make loans for a year before you're eligible to apply to become certified as a CDFI. So we've been just trying to put the structure together, an org chart, the different positions we might need, what kind of budget we might need. There are, once you get certified as a CDFI, you're eligible, and you're a nonprofit, you're eligible to apply for several different types of funding, as well as federal funding. So that's kind of the goal to work for. We're trying to take small bites and set it up right and make it something that's doable. One of the biggest advantages of a CDFI is that they have a borrower education is a big arm of CDFI, and they go hand in hand. It's not just a loan. It's an education for borrowers and training for borrowers and all kinds of things like how to set up a budget, how to make payments, how to manage money, how to have a spending plan that accommodates your payments. They also have a program that we really like that's a small startup loan program for those borrowers that haven't been able to get credit in the past, and theirs is geared from $50 to $1,000. And they can make that first loan, and if they make their payments, then they can eventually establish a credit record and go on to something bigger or better, or even to a bank once they get a credit rating. So it's something that's, it's kind of like Habitat for Humanity, where they do housing and they really get stakeholders involved in the whole process. And that's kind of how this CDFI is. The board's involved, the staff's involved, and the borrowers are involved, and they have a really personal relationship with the borrowers. And for instance, if there's a borrower that's had some kind of has a loan payment and they've had some kind of calamity in their life and they needed some help with trying to make their payment, they can go in and restructure a loan to try to help them out. I mean, that's kind of the angle that CDFIs have that banks don't have. So, like I said, we're trying to put our structure together, our org chart together. If you all pass this code and we're moving forward, then we will be putting together, Terry Mason Moore's already drafted articles of incorporation and bylaws, and then there would be the appointment of the board of directors. We're also doing a market feasibility study that'll be coming out pretty soon that we'll be doing electronically just to get an idea of the needs of the Osage Nation and the community members. Chief feels like we should offer this nationwide, not just here in Oklahoma. So we're going to try to get an idea of exactly what loan packages will address the needs that we see reflected in the market study. So I'd be glad to answer any questions that you all have.
Committee?
Chair, this is Rivard.
Yes.
I really don't. I have comments and questions. So this concept is not new to the nation. It's probably just new to this administration and maybe our Congress, but this was something that was actually developed, the first piece of CDFI. I want to say maybe on the 31st or a little bit prior to this discussion started happening. And in that came your employee loan program. And we had contracted with a gentleman, I forgot his name, to actually start this, exactly what we're looking at. And in that, the first step was the employee loan program. And the goal was to report your loan payments and things to the credit bureau. And probably due to a change in administration and things of that nature, it lost its identity. The actual guy we contracted with actually went to the Potawatomis over at Shawnee. And of course he took it and it is where it is today. Just a little bit of history. Many of our programs, specifically financial assistance, have started working with the WISDA for some time now in working with a program called Building Native Communities. And we have many of our Osage Nation employees are actually certified to teach financial literacy. I'm one of those, and I've been certified for some time now. And they have a really wonderful program, curriculum. And at one time, we were trying to get that to go through the Tri-County training, but they chose to go with, I guess, a YouTube Dave Ramsey. But the financial literacy program that we looked at was more native, culturally inclined. I feel like in the strategic plan, you know, that mentions the financial institute, it also mentions under the education piece of the plan to develop financial literacy and life skill training. And I think that this would be a great step to start looking into this. I guess it's something that I've supported for years. I think when I served as a member of the 31st Tribal Council, we actually invited OISTA and some partners to CDFI to come visit. And I think the Tribal Council, if I remember, Paula, you might remember, or Congresswoman Stabler, they presented to us their financial literacy program. And it was really, really interesting. And I think Councilman Stabler was a very big supporter in that. So first of all, my comment is just to know that this is something that's not new, and I appreciate you bringing this forth. I guess my question is, Candy, you might want to talk about how it relates to our current nonprofit, the Osage Nation Foundation, and how it would relate to that, if at all.
Thank you, Congressman Rebard. Thank you for that history. I wasn't aware of some of the things you mentioned. The Osage Nation Foundation was set up by a totally standalone law that just applied to the foundation. So it really doesn't have any relationship to that foundation right now. They were just certified as a nonprofit with that legislation. But I did want to mention that I'm glad to hear about the financial assistance and people being certified over there for some of the financial counseling, because we'd like to take advantage of that, as well as we've talked, had preliminary talks about having Tri-County do some of those courses. And the borrowers are going to be required to have to take those courses to be eligible for the loan. That's part of the eligibility. So we want to get really quality training for those people so that they enjoy it as much as they do there, and they're motivated, so they will get the loans.
Here, this is Stabler.
Yes, Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. Thanks, Jody, for bringing up all that we've done in the past. My questions are to Candy, though, right now. I might have missed it in your description. I was doing something at the same time you were talking, but had two questions, and one was, Do you have a, is somebody working on a plan or a scope or how they're going to step into this or what they're going to start with? And because it is big and it grows and grows and grows. And the other question is there an initial investment, a thought of what the initial investment will be for a program?
Thank you, Congressman Stabler. We are, our department is working very hard on a plan, and we've contracted with WISDA to help us with that and develop the structure and the plan. So we've been working on that since about probably December. I think we started in January with some of the WISDA trainings. Susan Bayrou, I believe, is on the call, and she just got completed a 5-day pretty intense course and got a certification on CDFI. And so we're just trying to kind of pull it together. First of all, we can apply for a NACA grant. And I can't tell you what the NACA stands for right at the moment, but that is a grant that we can apply for this year to get some funding to help us get up and running as a structure. We're not going to be ready to have a loan pool until we get our structure up and we kind of know what the need is going to be out there and what's going to be manageable for us to get started with. And so right now we don't have an initial loan pool. It may be, you know, $250,000 and or whatever. It just depends on how the market study comes back and how the evaluation of the market study shows us where the needs are and what's reasonable. If there's interest for those startup loans, we could do a bunch of those. But if it's for business enterprises or new startup business enterprises, then it'll probably be a larger amount. We just haven't outlined any of that yet.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have, Chair.
Thank you. Anyone else from the committee or members that are on the line? No one has any further questions? Yes, Congresswoman Jeff.
I apologize for coming in late there. Thank you. So first, Ms. Thomas, I want to say that I'm very excited to hear this and looking forward to this coming to fruition. I just want to talk a little bit about the board. Speaker alluded a bit to the board structure. Can you explain that to me, how it's looking at this point?
Well, the way that the code reads that the chief would appoint the initial board, and we would be looking for some people that can be committed and have some financial familiarity with loans or something in that manner. They don't have to be a banker, but we'd like to have at least one banker on the board that's familiar with it. We're looking at some pretty high level professional type people. And of course, we don't even have a board yet. We don't have our articles of incorporation or our bylaws, but we want people that can help us make good decisions, good financial decisions. And we would also, besides what we're supplying to the borrower in terms of training, there would be a board training for the board members so they understand the CDFI industry and what potential pitfalls are and responsibilities and how to manage risk and some of those, you know, kind of high level things. We'd also have do some strategic planning to develop, you know, where we're going from here and just be really focused on being able to evaluate loans and make good decisions. So that's kind of where we are with the board right now. And then in the articles and the bylaws are all the details of how many board members there are and how they're selected and what their terms are and, you know, those kinds of details. We don't have those yet. We have drafts. We just don't have them fleshed out yet.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question or observation. This is Maker.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, I like to just say that, you know, I've been promoting this for 10 years on all my campaign literature that we needed our own financial institution. And I always said that, you know, we were at one time the wealthiest people on the planet, and yet we never had our own financial institution, not even a savings and loan or credit union, which I've looked into this for years. I've talked to bankers. I've looked at what other tribes are doing, the ones who do have financial institutions. And yeah, it's a big step, but it's possible. And I've always said that, and I've always said, well, we're not ready. You know, that was what I was told. And I go, well, why not? You know, when is the time we're going to be ready? So I guess it's now. I guess all it took was for one person to come in and say, hey, how come we don't have a bank? I guess I was going about it the wrong way. I don't know, but I do know it's a big step. And we do want the best people, as Mrs. Thomas was saying. Yeah, we need the best minds on this, because it's got to, we want it to work. We don't want it to fail. And it's needed. We've needed this for a long time. If we would have had our own bank back in the oil boom days, we'd have been one of the biggest banks around today. So I'm just saying I'm finally glad we're going in that direction. And I know that it's going to take a lot of work. And it sounds like to me, I've heard a lot of questions today that's not answered yet. But I am happy that we're at least going in this direction. Thanks.
Any other members of Congress or the committee?
Chair, I have a comment.
Yes.
I'd be just so that everybody on the line knows that we have a bank building, so that's good.
Thank you.
Chairwoman.
Yes, Congressman Walker.
Is there an anticipated time frame on, you know, a reasonable amount of time that we could launch this? Kind of curious what our expectations are.
Well, our timeline, thank you, Congressman Walker. We don't have a timeline to launch it yet till we've gathered enough information to know what our structure is going to be as far as loan packages, and what our needs are going to be as far as an initial loan pool. Until we get the market study back, we won't really be able to do that. So as we've told Chief and as we've talked, it might take us 6 or 9 months to get all of that together and really be prepared to advertise and go out there. We've got to get our educational classes together. For the borrowers, there's just a lot of planning that needs to go into it first. So we're not even looking for a budget until FY22. And we're also going to apply for NACA for some of their technical assistance to support us. But the way they fund things, we're applying in 21, but we won't get the funds till 22. So we're just going to have to do a lot more planning before I can give you a timeline, and I might be able to do that after we conclude the market study, and sometime in, you know, early summer, we should have a better handle on exactly where we are. We don't have a location yet. Chief sees it being downtown. A bank would be nice, but thanks, Jody. But we're just having to figure our costs based on kind of an estimated square footage. I mean, we're putting the budgets together, and we're going to do a market study for all our positions. So we don't have that back yet. So we're it's in motion, but possibly by the fall, we'll be ready to have something, all the pieces come together and have it in place.
Okay, well, thanks for that. And I know there's this is just the first step, and there's a lot more heavy lifting that's going to have to be done in the future. But the things that I wonder about, especially if we're talking about loaning the, you know, Osages that live out of Osage County, even out of state, I wonder, and I would be curious to hear from, you know, someone else that's doing this on recourse whenever loans default. How do they gain that jurisdictional capacity to go after them and get the money back? And you know, that's always going to be a tough one of, you know, whenever, I don't know, somebody that we all know and like is defaulting on a loan. Anyway, those are just the concerns that I've always had, or a hesitation that I have regarding the nation operating a financial institution.
Well, I appreciate your questions, and we asked some of those questions to the Potawatomis. There is equity and down payment. There are securities that are required for the loan, so we have those securities, and just depends on what the loan's for. If it's like for a car, and I think there's a document called a CCF, which is kind of a security document. It's going to be a challenge to do things out of state because we'll have to be working with maybe other banks, maybe other appraisers, out-of-state appraisers, and that kind of thing. So we haven't totally wrapped our head around how that's going to work yet. It may be just certain kinds of loans where we do have, we're not having to go out and pick up a car or something like that. So we haven't really designed that yet. But I appreciate your question.
This is Brandy.
Congresswoman, you have the floor.
Thank you. Hi, Candy, and Susan's on there. Hello, and glad you guys are here today. My question is it's not really a question. It's just basically a comment, and it's pretty much along the same lines as Congressman Walker. I just I know that we're just in the infancy stage of this, and I understand, you know, that it's going to be quite some time before we have anything solid, and which is fine. I think that moving forward is not necessarily it's not a bad idea, but basically, I just know that. Along the lines of what Congressman Walker was basically saying is, how are we going to, you know, go about someone defaulting? And it's just the reason that I bring it up and want it to be an important piece is that there tends to be situations that we have gotten ourselves in where, whether it be the home loans or the, you know, the loans through the nation for home ownership and things of that nation, of that nature, that the payments haven't been made by people and our Osage, and they were allowed to have leniency more so than other folks, or more so than somebody who might have gotten a loan for a home outside of, you know, the options that we have as people. And so I do have some great concern that could be, is going to be separated and everyone treated across the board the same, regardless if you, you know, an example would be the car like you gave, you know, so, you know, me and you, Candy, we each go get a car and I default and you don't, or you do also, and then leniency is granted to one of us, but not the other. And whether it's, and it shouldn't be, it should just be the rules are the rules, and you know, we got to stick to it, regardless if you're an elected official or a member who's a high-ranking member in the tribe, or if you're just a regular old tribal member. So I have great concern there on how they're going to apply that, and you know, that is one of my biggest concerns as far as this particular thing goes, besides the board structure. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. One of the big issues and one of the biggest stresses from Potawatomi's was to keep it, and Chief agrees, keep it at arm's distance so it doesn't become a political tool and everybody is treated the same. And that's why it's so important about the board, to have the right members on the board that are willing to look at things in a very professional way and make good decisions on loans and even on defaults, or make good decisions on what's a risk and what's not a risk. But that Potawatomi's are set up pretty much that like a bank as far as the loans are the loans, and they try to keep as much politics out of it as they can, and they do try to treat everybody the same. And that means that they turn some people down. And that means that I think their foreclosure rate, which they told us was amazing, was like 1% of their loans. So they're very careful in the beginning, so they don't get in some of those situations. And I know some of the employee loan situations that we've had in the past haven't really been managed very well. And so we want to get away from that. We want to be at an arm's length, and we want to have board members that can really make good decisions so we keep our rate of defaults low.
This is Brandy again.
Congresswoman Lemon and then Speaker Pratt, did you have your hand up?
Oh, sorry, okay. I can yield.
Okay, Speaker Pratt, and then we'll go back to Congresswoman Lemon.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's okay. But so just to follow up on that, and that's why I think instances like that is I agree with Thomas, is having a board of directors and you know, their bylaws and all of their articles in writing and in place moving forward, because that would be the difference between, and I agree how things have happened in the past, but that's the difference in having a board of directors and making those decisions, as opposed to like one director of a tribal program. That's kind of where, because I think at one time when we talked about the housing program, Congresswoman Goodfox and I asked, you know, well, what's the limit? And I don't know what it is now, but I'm just speaking in the last, 4 or 5 years in the Congress, we were told that there wasn't really a max on the purchase of some homes. And that seemed like a lot to take on, considering, you know, the payments were income based and all of that. So they were perhaps buying very large, expensive homes that maybe someone couldn't afford. So I think that's having a lot of this stuff in place is going to be helpful. And what I really like about it is the education portion of it. That's just imperative. And in our conversation, they were discussing having seen the loans, the COVID funds, the business loans that were given out, and the requirements. They were able to see how a lot of the businesses, you know, operated, currently were operating. And so I think this is a really good way and a good tool to help them to not be able to just give them funding, but to help them become better business owners or et cetera, because they were able to really see in the requirements that they were asking of these business owners that many of them just didn't have the kind of books or whatnot set up in place to really have a continuous, successful, long-term business. And so a lot of the information that they're moving towards developing, is they're able to take a lot of that with them in developing this. And again, as I don't think that Congressman Maker might have been on the line at the very beginning, but when Second Speaker Rivard and Congresswoman Stabler and, you know, Congresswoman Goodfox has been here many years. So this has been years and years and years in the making. And again, even back in the original strategic plan, and having gone back to Congresswoman Stabler and Second Speaker Rivard's time in the government. And so I do like that we're getting there, and I appreciate the work that they put into it and that they were going to continue. But that's been a big, I'm familiar with the OESA program, and that was something that we really, as Second Speaker Rivard was the director of the same programs, and even more is working with in the self-sufficiency programs and trying to help tribal members with guidance in their financial literacy. And so I really like those components of it. And I think that's just going to be really, really helpful to give them not only assistance and funding for a business, but to give them the information and successful or tools to be successful in the long term. Because it, again, a lot of times, you know, I gave examples of in the self-sufficiency programs where we're trying to help people, you know, gain employment and become self-sufficient, is we can push all this money out from the tribe, whether it be tribal money or even federal dollars, to try to help them get on their feet. But if we can't get them educated how to operate in the long term, then that's a huge loss of all the direct services that were already given to them. So we could help them put all their deposits down, do their first month, last months, you know, just give them a big chunk of direct services. But if they can't get gainful employment and know how to do these things, then it's that is a huge loss in the end if it doesn't work out. So I think that part is imperative in this whole situation. And I think I like that they're headed in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Congresswoman Lemon, did you have a comment?
I just wanted to thank Candy for her comments and Speaker Pratt also for that particular, you know, follow-up. I'm glad that that's on the forefront of the minds that are together. And I think this is a wonderful endeavor that can be successful if we get the right people in the right places. And anyway, I just wanted to thank them. So thank you for your time.
Second speaker, Rivard.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to remind the committee, and I think Candy knows this, part of the OESTA and the CDFI is strengthening your community. It's building your nation. That's kind of the concept, and to do that economically. And, you know, we have a youth program that the executive, I guess they prefer to operate it during the summer, but you know, personally, I thought that's a good deal to do all year round, because you want to start with your youth as far as teaching them about financial literacy. And if they can be, well, they can be employed all throughout the year. It doesn't just have to be a summer program, but that was something that strengthening and building your community that they talked about a lot was focus on the youth. And because that's how you're going to strengthen, you know, your community in the long run. And so that was something I really liked about working with OESTA. I had a question for you, Candy. So say we had a financial institution, would it allow for us to give ourselves loans? So for instance, like on our construction, say with gaming, how would that come into play, if at all?
Well, I think that just, it's all how it's set up. I've seen some wording, I think, in the code that we can't make loans to certain people that are in executive. I just have to go back and read it, but I don't know the answer to that question right now. I don't know if we'd have enough to make loans to ourselves. And I think it would be taking away, I mean, the CDFI interest rate is more than competitive, not as competitive as some of the bank rates, because Pottawatomie's interest rate when we were down there was 10%, because they're taking a higher risk. So I'm not sure it would be as economically feasible with a higher interest rate than it would be with the you know, another bank where we've already got credit for a loan. So I'll have to look into that to be able to give you a better, more extensive answer.
Anyone else? This is the only item we have on our agenda today.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Motion to report. Oh, I lost the number. Oh my gosh, where'd it go? ONCA 2127 with a due pass recommendation.
There's a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
This is Maker. I'll second that for discussion. I really think this needs more work. There's just so many questions I heard that's unanswered today. And I do think that this takes a little more discussion than just a few, that 1 hour. But that's what I have to say.
Well, okay. Actually, Congressman Maker, we do appreciate your second for discussion, but since you're not on the committee and the clerk would have to verify this because I'm not 100% certain, I believe you have to be on the committee in order to second anything. So
you can make a motion, but you can't second the motion. Is that?
Yes, that's correct, Congressman. Okay. And so we do have a motion on the floor.
Motion. This is Breen.
Okay, Congresswoman Lemon, you are seconding the motion to report bill number, yes, ONCA 2127 to Congress with a due pass recommendation?
Yes, for discussion.
Oh, second for discussion. Okay, discussion. You have the floor.
Thank you. So, thank you, Madam Chair. So, alluding to going back to what Congressman Maker had to say, and you know, the work is still going to be in further progress. And ultimately, Candy, Ms. Thomas, would you like to, you know, I guess they basically just expound on the need for this to go through or the need for it to stay here at this point for further discussion? And what kind of barrier does it put up if it doesn't get through? Not that I'm trying to push it through, because we are at the beginning of session. So just if you could expound on that a little bit, Candy.
Thank you. Well, this is the very first step. We have to have a structure, whether it's a nonprofit or if it's a tribal enterprise or whatever it is. But the nonprofit structure is recommended by OISTA, and also by the attorney, Rebecca Patterson, who's been working with us on putting this code together, as well as Terry Mason Moore. And it gives us the opportunity to apply for additional funds as a 501c3 that we could not apply for if we were just a tribal enterprise. So as I mentioned before, it's not just for the CDFI, it's also for any enterprises that wanted to have a 501c3 versus just a for-profit enterprise that would be beneficial to them if they're like some kind of a, they have some kind of a nonprofit scope of reaching people, and that would be beneficial to them as well, because with the 501c3, you can apply to foundations and corporations and specialized funding that you can't do just in any other format. So this is our first step. If this happens and you all will pass it and support it, then we can move on with the articles of incorporation and the bylaws and continue to set the structure up. But until we know what format our structure is going to be in, and that was what was recommended to us, and we put a lot of work into trying to get this code where it would work for everybody, that's kind of where we are.
May I follow up, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Thomas, for bringing that forward, because like the most important thing that I hear you say is, you know, this is the first step of getting to where we need to go in this process. And once we get this particular piece taken care of, other things are going to start to come into play that you're going to need to get in writing. And so without this, you can continue to work, but you're still going to have this, even if we don't put it forth today, tomorrow, or even during this session. It does stop you from being able to go forward at some point if we don't get this put into code. Is that correct?
It'll either stop us or put us on pause and have us try to decide what the challenges are that we need to overcome to either get it passed or try to take a step in a different direction. But based on the recommendation of the professional people that have been doing this for quite a while, this is, and Chief as well agrees with this, this was the best structure for us, and it was the most opportunity for us. So we can continue to develop the articles of incorporation and the bylaws, but they're not going to be effective if we don't have a formal document that forms our structure.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas. I'm ready to move this out. I did want to just give some credence to the further discussion that other members may have had, and I'm comfortable with going ahead and moving this out of committee today. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. I have Speaker Pratt, but I just had one comment before Speaker Pratt. So I was part of a conversation the other day, and I'm not real sure. I do have a concern, and Ms. Thomas heard about my concern the other day, that we add another board. This would add another board to what we already have, but I don't know. I don't know that my concern couldn't be addressed later, is what I'm kind of thinking, that in the event that board restructuring were to occur, that the concerns that I may have could be addressed at that point. And so I don't really know who to ask that question to. But if anyone has any thoughts on that, I would love to talk about it. Speaker Pratt.
Well, in having that conversation with you, I can see that that's, again, as you said, something that we can continue to work through. That's why I kind of opened up with, like, you know, gaming is set aside because we want a board of just focusing on gaming. And so in trying to, and we don't even know what the overarching board structure would look like, but we know that this would be, like, we know gaming is dealing with gaming, then this would be the, in dealing with banking and all that encompasses, including, you know, we would need a board with, if we were talking about business loans, home loans, personal loans, et cetera, then, you know, obviously, you know, mortgage experts, et cetera, would come into play. So that is something we can continue to work through, but I just wanted to address for anyone that may not is saying that it needs a lot of work. I mean, there's no question. And Ms. Thomas has repeated that over and over as far as continuing, but this is a starting point and gets it. But in the applicability and application of certain laws of the Osage Nation section, you know, it goes further to, as we've said repeatedly, that the Articles of Incorporation need to be worked through, and that is subject to approval by the chief and the Osage Nation Congress. So those pieces will come, but I agree that this is a foundation to get moving and allows them opportunity along the way. And so I just wanted to follow up with that portion, that there is still work to be done, but there's, you know, would be subject to the Business Commission Advisory Boards, the Ethics Law, Open Meetings Act, all those things would be placed into law regarding this entity, whatever that may look like when we get there. So thank you.
Thank you, Speaker. Any other member of Congress or the committee? Right now we're in the middle of discussion. We have a motion on the floor that has a second. Then we will take a vote on the motion. Caitlin, we'll do a roll call vote, please.
Okay, just one moment. Congresswoman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Second Speaker Rivard?
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Chair Goodfox?
Yes. Thank you, committee. The last item on our agenda is adjournment. Without objection, adjourned. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
I'd just like to remind the committee, a committee report will be sent out for signature.
Please check your email.